wear these cars strapped in like that.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Bruce Adams is our new transportation commissioner. He lives in Monticello.
Somebody gave me a bell, so I guess I ought to use it. To what do we owe the honor of this bell? All right, whoever is watching the soap opera, please turn it off.
I keep losing him.
Wow, struggling to get into this one.
There you go.
I keep getting muted by the host.
Wonder why. All right. Welcome, everyone. Let's get underway.
Bruce, we hear the television in the background.
Yeah, you got to turn off your TV.
That's my wife.
Your wife's got to turn off the TV. Ooh. Okay. We have a quorum, so we're going to begin this meeting. I'm officially calling it to order. Thank you all for being here. Our first item of business is to, before we do that, that was just an awesome lunch. A round of applause for Jay. She does all this work to get ready, and we just come and chat. Welcome. First item of business to consider the meeting minutes of April 15, 2025. Any additions or corrections?
I read the minutes, Mayor. I can make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We're jumping to item 2B on the agenda to review the turnout on Highway 59 above Spillway. And Nanette's not here.
We're going to have to postpone that until Annette arrives.
Okay, we're going to jump to item 2C then. Talk about federal legislation introduced for Washington County, water and road rights of way.
So on your table, there's two maps that depict federal properties that have been introduced in a piece of legislation by Celeste Malloy's office. Is Kyle here? Wipe your mouth. And Congresswoman Malloy presented some legislation through the House to transfer these properties from federal ownership to local government ownership. And I'll let Kyle speak to that if he's here.
Only if we buy them.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me. Can I sit next to you? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Kyle, before you start really quick.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you hearing from your office, like, what we keep getting in emails, all this misinformation out there, that this is just all for housing stuff?
Yeah, gosh, everything from, like, procedure in terms of why we're doing it to the timing when we did it. I mean, there couldn't be more misinformation out there at like every
day.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. The so for context, last Wednesday, the Congresswoman introduced an amendment. It was a 17-hour long field hearing, or excuse me, committee hearing. We introduced our amendment at about hour 12. It didn't have to be that late. It's just kind of the way the timeline worked out. So it certainly wasn't any sort of under the table or elusive or concealed step. It just happened to be the time that it took place. So we introduced this amendment. This amendment will transfer the parcels that are listed on the maps at fair market value to the municipalities in the county. There's a reason why. I mean, like, to to walk back just a little bit more, you know, everybody here knows that there's a really long history of these sorts of conveyances. And there are a number of legal vehicles through which we can make those conveyances. This one is unique. We've never gone about it this way before. So in order for us to include it in the reconciliation package, it has to have a budget nexus. And how we justify that budget nexus is by selling it at fair market value. We would simply prefer to convey that land for free, but it would require a two-thirds majority in order to get that across the finish line, and through reconciliation we only need 50 plus one. So that's the vehicle that we use to do it. That's kind of the explanation for the timing when it took place. Procedurally, we made it out of committee, out of Natural Resources Committee last week. On Sunday night, the Budget Committee elected to take it up and passed it. So now we have a budget bill. It will go to the House floor, I don't know when, potentially by the end of this week, possibly next week. There is a fair amount of pushback on the House floor, so it is a far from guaranteed thing. It sounds like there will be some compromise where we'll use a manager's amendment to cut loose some of the parcels that have been identified by the county as the county being willing to exclude those. After that manager's amendment, there will be a vote, and then it'll go to the House floor. So after assuming it passes the House of Representatives, in order to be eligible for the reconciliation process, Senator Byrd created this parliamentary rule that says just that. In order for it to be part of reconciliation, it has to have an impact on the budget. Whether or not the Senate parliamentarian believes that it has enough of an impact to the budget to be included in the reconciliation process is really kind of anybody's guess at this point. So we'll hold our breaths to see what that looks like. Assuming it gets through the parliamentarian, then we have the whole other chamber to deal with, committee and Senate floor votes, before it gets to the finish line. So that's where it is in the process. We still have a good amount to go and a few hurdles in front of us, but we're anxiously working on them, and I've really enjoyed, frankly, in spite of all of the misinformation, the opportunity to sit down with stakeholders and constituents and talk through some of the issues. It's been fun, frankly. It's the kind of stuff that I geek out on. It's super enjoyable, so please don't hesitate to reach out if any of you have questions, thoughts, ideas, or anything to that aspect.
Phil, I have a question. Would it have been problematic for us to release these maps before it went through? Because I think at least St. George City-wise, the way that it came across in the media was that we were doing a secret deal, you know, and that we were just buying straight out 11,000 acres, and it was all going to be used for housing. And I think, I'm like you, once I've had the opportunity to talk to people and show them what it actually is, and that it's actually protecting water, and that it's something, you know, that we've been working on for a really long time, I think we've been able to diffuse it. But I'm just thinking it would have been nice for us to get out in front of it instead of playing catch up. Would it have been problematic for us? I'm just curious. Or
I think so. And there's kind of a delicate thing. That being said, the amount we should have, us, you and I, and all of the stakeholders probably strategized beforehand in terms of how to roll it out so that we got to control the narrative, because we just handed it to the NGOs on a silver platter and they did a really good job at mischaracterizing virtually everything. I would have loved to have been in a position where we could take hold of that narrative from the beginning, but we learned a lot, for sure. Assuming, and we may never get a chance to do this same process again, but if we do, I think we'll be better prepared.
Kyle, would you talk a little bit about cost? Does the pill price come into it at all? Or you talk about different scenarios depending on what the vote is. Just kind of what do you expect for cost?
So there are some cost estimates. I'll be the first person to tell you I can't remember where they all landed. But it should not affect PILT in any way, shape, or form. Fair market value may put like parcel 19 out of the reach of the county? I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. So that's one that's been identified as being removed, but long story short, it should defend to any other form of compensation that the federal government gives the state.
Yes.
Yes, sir. One thing that we need to emphasize is that our office in planning, myself and working with Scott Messel and Victoria, we were given about, what, Victoria, 36 hours?
24 is my memory. It was like overnight.
To not only identify parcels, get their exact meets and bounds, put a map together, literally our GIS department of two people, mostly down to one, spent an entire day and evening just doing that so we meet the deadline. And that's not a deadline that the congresswoman gave us or anything. Now the water district had more time, but all we were focused on were where we want trails and where we have narrow rights of ways. So you see these red lines and somebody all of a sudden feels like, you know, you're gonna build housing on the freeway in 200 feet between the fence? No, that's not what that was about. And then, of course, the water lines, people are clamoring for how are you going to solve your water problems? Well, let's reuse the water. Okay, well, we do have to get it from A to B. And if it makes sense that it's not under a road but alongside of a road, yeah, the water district needs some more easement. So that was the main focus. But like so many things, you know, you bring a home a new dog to your house, and suddenly everyone thinks that you're going to have a puppy mill. That the rumors go out there like crazy. And so that wasn't it at all. What we were trying to do is generate rights of way for trails and bike paths, etc., and better access for running our reuse lines, which we all know is part of the 20-year water plan. The bigger parcels that are in there, the one on the far left, that kind of in U-shape, that's out at Purgatory, and it made sense that there's already a lot of county land out there for public use. The one above it by left of Quail, I don't know where that one came from. That wasn't part of Purgatory's and ours in planning. The other one there, parcel five, is it? Or three, that's a big chunk, yep. That made sense. The one farther to the right is simply above Rockville. It was like Switzerland of BLM property to protect Rockville, to protect the Anasazi. Is it Anasazi Ridge?
Anasazi Plateau.
That was just a parcel to say, let's preserve it. But county, we're not developers. We're not interested in one of the rumors was out there. Yeah, the developers can't get it, so we'll get government to get it and give it to us or sell it to them. That never was part of it, so. Shame on those that spread that rumor. And
I couldn't agree more, but how does that get out? Is there a possibility that that could even happen?
That we would buy land to sell it to developers?
Yeah.
First of all, you're not going to go very far in the county. If a developer can't do it without us, they probably can't do it with us, because our big five is zoning, water, sewer, power, and roads. And if you can't personally make those five work, we're not going to help you. You know, that's you. Taxpayers are not going to aid you in making that happen. Other big departments that want to maybe go to UDOT and get some help, that's different, but not through the county. So you're right, Mayor. It was illogical to think that all of a sudden there's going to be a high-rise hotel above Rockville.
Okay. Anyone else?
Any other thoughts or questions?
I would say
very interesting. Keep us posted.
I would say real quickly, a lot of this pushback is coming from Mark Amadei's side in Nevada and what they're planning to do with the public lands. And these NGOs are aggressively raising money as a result of this. So I think that's why there's so much misinformation on this particular issue. Once the House and the reconciliation process takes place, the Senate will take the exact language and we will agree with Representative Malloy's perspective on this, because we've been working hand in hand with these maps. So I think it's interesting to know that I won't call him a close friend, but a good representative from Montana is the one that's creating a lot of stir. And Montana has 30% public lands, and the former Secretary of Interior is creating a little bit of a stir inside the House. So I don't know if you want to address that a little bit, but those are some
I've been asked to be very nice to the good representative of Montana.
Just FYI, we could acquire all these lands from the BLM for free if we want to take the number of years it would require to do the processes that the BLM has set up for the acquisitions. We wouldn't have to pay fair market value, but most of them you can see are roadway connections and on our road master plans. So all of those could be acquired now. It would take longer, the process doesn't work very quickly, but they could be acquired now for free. They're not some land grab that we were thinking of or plotting about. These are all roadway connections and trail connections, all on our master plan maps, and they could all be acquired now under the BLM process if we wanted to do it that way. So it's just a faster process.
That process takes years.
Right. This is faster. Yeah.
So I showed these maps to a friend who used to work in Jason Chaffetz's office, and he recognized the great number of the parcels. They're all pretty. They've all been around, and they've been on the drawing board for a long time. And we could use existing legal vehicles to make those conveyances, but the Recreation and Public Purpose Act, for example, is considered discretionary to the BLM, so should an application come in, it will literally sit on a desk for years before it even gets looked at, and the NEPA in and of itself is going to take multiple. So this is a win-win, it really is, especially if the counties and the cities are willing to pay for it.
Well, and it's the old saying that not all NGOs are bad, but for some of them, never let a good lie go to waste when it comes to raising money.
Well, I think that's where the biggest surprise came in, is that actually something's happening. So thank you. The people I talked to, I had the same experience. It's like, where did this get hatched? Hey, this is these are new parcels. This is something that's needed to be done. This is not an overnight thing. I think everybody just got caught off guard that something was actually happening. It's kind of like the Northern Corridor, right? When that ever starts, it's going to be like, wow, how many years has that been? So, thank you. That's the biggest thing, is thank you for making sure you pass that along.
It's a pleasure, and the boss is super excited to be able to help.
Well, Jimmy, you should know that in 1996, so this is 13 years before the 2009 Lands Bill, Washington City has a transportation master plan that they published in 1996, and it talks about the northern route and how essential that will be, and it spells it out exactly the way it's spelled out now. So you add all those years together and you've got a pretty long process of where we've been talking about.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Okay. By the way, you can be respectful and not say the good representative or just the representative or the. So, Mayor Billings, we're going to jump back to you. Before we do, backtracking an hour, I'm driving, pushing unmute. I listened to the whole thing, but I couldn't talk to you because I'm.
I don't know why. I'm sorry. Well, thank you. I just wanted to kind of have more brainstorming with all the mayors here about SR9 or any of the parcels you have that may be this problematic. And I said SR9 and F59, I'm sorry. So when you leave Hurricane and you go towards Lake Cal, towards Fredonia, Kanab, Apple Valley, Hilldale, there's a little turn off at the top of the hill that is a spillway. And right there we've had deaths. We've had people that have jumped off, and so similar to the bridge that we've had marked as a place to commit suicide. So I had one resident reach out to me and ask a question about maybe light in that area, but I just wanted to see if you had other ideas of things that we can do that would maybe be better, so that we could recommend. It's not really our place because it's UDOT. So I thought this is a good place to have that discussion. Is there somewhere that we could try to help? And so where one resident said, what about lighting it? The reason they go there is it's dark. want to be alone. They don't want to be in the light. Would that maybe be an option? And I thought, I'm just going to bring it here and ask some questions and see if anybody has any thoughts.
So not living out there, you're saying that this is an area where people go to commit suicide?
And it's like marked online. Yeah, people have marked it. So my thought is you can't gate everything. You can't put jump fences everywhere. And we have, it's kind of problematic. There's been a few recently. So I just thought I'd bring it to this group. And
it's off the side. It's off the side of the highway there. I mean, I'm picturing that area, and I'm not sure I'm exactly on where you...
So the spillway that goes over,
yeah.
Right there. Uh-huh.
There's a little tunnel underneath the highway right there. If you get up by the tower of the road, you can go underneath.
Oh, okay.
On that first hill. Back in high school, we used to put a TV out on the edge, and we'd put these couches back in the highway, and we'd actually watch movies under that. But that's 30 years ago. You know, now people are getting out there and jumping off.
We've actually put a great frame on the east side to access it from that side. Yeah.
But they're just driving a little bit over side. To the north, and there's a sheer ledge.
Yeah, they're walking along the cliff side to access that. So.
And I'm not saying we have to fence everything. I'm just saying, are there some ideas of things that would maybe be helpful?
So I was just trying to look up there's a movie about this. Guy moves into this house and has this. It's rotted out. And he's like, "What do I do with this?" And he put a sign. He tried to fence it. He tried to do all this stuff, and then he finally just put a sign: "If you need to talk, come into my house." And I think he would offer him a sandwich to talk to him. I don't know if that's my experience is they'll find another way. You're not going to stop it, but I think if there's just some
helpful. Is there a sign there? Is that
Tracy, are there signs there?
I don't think we have any significant signs up there.
We talked about it, so I didn't know if there was something.
We didn't get anything installed on it.
I have some input on that. So they did a bunch of suicide prevention on Laverkan Bridge and brought a lot of signage there. And I think if we do that there, and then if you possibly want to do some low shining down kind of lights, possibly on the ridge maybe, to where, because people aren't just going there to commit suicide. You're having a lot more people go there for the dark skies and to overlook the valley because it's beautiful. So to put a great big blaring light would destroy so much of that.
And I'm not thinking of blaring light, just something that would maybe be motion light sensor. It was the thought, motion.
Well, they did put those cement barriers where the truck actually drove right off. Mm-hmm. So those cement barriers have helped, I'm sure. But the suicide prevention, to where we just let people know if you need to talk and that we do want you here and give out that kind of a message instead of taking away, you're going to get more kickback from people if you just light it up because you've lost your dark sky and you've lost your, like you said, bringing the couches out and watching the movies. That's my thought. If we get the messaging out there, I think that helped at Laverkan Bridge a lot.
That's where the signs are.
And Mayor, let's add the Behavioral Health 5-County Mobile Crisis Unit. They respond all hours of the day. If that.
Like the 811? Because there's an 811 number that's.
The Behavioral Health number.
No, it's more than the 811 number.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the Southwest Behavioral Health.
Well, I've had discussions with them. I've been, with our prevention coalition, we've discussed it. But I thought, I'm just going to talk to some of the people that are in this group. Maybe you have some ideas or something that you've dealt with. But I like the idea of putting up this, a sign. And, okay, I'm going to meet with you, Dot. We're going to discuss it. I just thought I'd have some feedback. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. To item 2D, designation of Title VI coordinator.
Let me take that. Title VI is the federal regulation that requires us to not discriminate against gender, race, and other items in their language, national origin, whatever. with the current administration, federal highways, and therefore UDOT, is under increasing pressure to make sure that the Title VI regulations are up to date and appropriate. UDOT has asked us to not only create a Title VI program compliance plan that's been passed out to you here today, but that we also designate a Title VI coordinator. In talking with Brian Theriot over at Pike County IOG, he and I felt like it would be appropriate to have this body designate a coordinator at the AOG, and my name was put out there as probably the person to do that. But we do need to have a formal title created for that role, so we're asking this in the next two agenda items. We're asking this body to designate a Title VI coordinator and to consider the Title VI certification as presented in this document.
This isn't something, it is within that the person can be chosen, right? It's not a new hire.
Right. It's another duty as assigned.
Well, I move that we provide a Title VI coordinator as designated, and then we
namely
the certification.
Namely?
Myron Lee. So that people can say, I've been Myronized.
I will second that.
Can I just ask a question before the vote?
Discussion. So are you trying to put the certification in the same motion?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
We want to look
at. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, is there any special training that would be required of you that...
Yes,
and that is the timeline of the appointment.
Yeah, and we have funding it within the MPO budgets to acquire that training.
Chair, was there, Victoria, could you address, is there a conflict of him overseeing and being the hiring body?
Well, I don't believe there's a conflict unless he self-declares a conflict. I don't think you have a conflict of interest because of your other duties.
I just want to make sure.
I can't think of one.
So the way the document is written is that I would be the coordinator and Brian Theriot would oversee my duties, and then there would be an appeal process
to yourself
through the AOG hierarchy.
Everybody satisfied?
Myron hasn't said he's willing.
If I weren't, I would not have put it on the agenda.
So far I have a motion.
And a second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Thank you. Way to go.
Yay.
We
have the
certification also, right? Is that the same?
So, now that we've got a coordinator before you, is this Title VI program compliance plan for UDOT sub-recipients.
So
this one is specifically for Five County Association of Governments.
Are we adopting this document? Is that what you're
requesting? Yes.
Okay.
Now, this document says draft all over it because there are some polishing elements that I need to get in there and go in and polish that up and make sure that it's not going to get us in trouble with the DEI regulations that are currently afloat. That said, it is substantially complete.
Can we approve it with legal review? That covers.
I would feel very comfortable about that.
If it's not required, I mean, we're not used to adopting incomplete documents ever.
Yeah, it's a month per.
So I don't know how how official this is.
We need to turn this in by June 1st. Excuse me, I misspoke. We need to turn this in by July 1st. So if we were to table it for our June meeting, that would be okay.
So I don't know how y'all feel about that.
One of the changes I think we should make is on page 4. And under title 6 coordinators, number 3 there, we probably, as with all documents, should put someone's name in it. We should probably say the director, or you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have nothing against Brian. I'm just saying, if you don't say, you know, appeal to Mayor Randall.
No, you're right. You're exactly right.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah.
And it sounds like we better do it as a pending legal review.
Well, unless someone in here feels differently than I do.
I'd like to have a month to review it.
So this just requires a continuation, then someone might make that motion.
Yes. Mayor Hart, I'll motion to table this item until next month.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, that'll give us time to read this one.
Thank you.
I have a question about whether the other motion was passed.
Yes.
So he's appointed, we're just tabling the document.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Which brings us to our local government updates. Anything happening out there, mayors, council members? Actually, there's tons of stuff happening out there, but because there's tons happening, we don't need to talk about it all, right? We drive through it and we see. UDOT updates.
Oh, beforehand, let me give you that phone number, Mayor.
Okay.
It's 435-705-1388.
Thank you.
And
is the 988 number also?
Yes, but.
Okay. Because there's 811, there's 988, I just, okay, we put 435-705. Do you think that's the best number?
And your phone number.
How did it do?
I'll be right there. And then Scott Corsi is the program director.
Okay,
he could give you more information as to what should be on the sign. It's not going to be unique.
Yeah.
It certainly may be helpful.
Okay.
Just like you see in the airport bathrooms, if you feel like you're being abducted, you know, I don't know why the one of them is in Malaysian, but I'm learning my Malaysian. All right. Thank you. Sorry, Mayor.
Thank you. Jumping to UDOT.
Okay. Well, my name is Jared Beard. I'm sitting in for Kirk Thornock today. He has some other meetings up in Richfield he had to attend. As far as UDOT updates, I'm not sure exactly.
Could you introduce your commissioner, please?
Oh, yes, yes, Bruce Adams. We have Bruce Adams on the line. As he is on the Utah Transportation Commission, and he's been recently, he began as an at-large commissioner, and he's been reassigned to be the Region 4 commissioner for UDOT. So all things Region 4, Southern Utah, Bruce will be our commissioner to visit with and discuss those items.
Is he online?
May I have your attention, please?
You better mute me.
Yeah, Bruce, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Please address the ground all through with audio you may hear or see at this time.
That's Bruce.
That's Bruce.
The first thing we're going to work on is lines of communication with Bruce. Nice to meet you, Bruce.
Emergencies in San Juan.
Having some audio issues. Yeah. So.
He apparently wants us under his thumb. I'm reading from that.
Okay, and I guess I would ask from the UDOT side, I'm not sure what other projects, updates you would like at this point in time. I mean, we are moving forward. We recently moved forward with some funding for the Northern Corridor from sort of additional environmental design work just to progress things along there as far as we can at this point. Other things, we're working with Hurricane City on some SR9 issues. And I guess I just open it to any questions for updates.
Everyone?
I have one. Nobody in this room would be breathing if it weren't for trees. So I saw the number of trees that UDOT cut down at Leeds. Then you cut them all down on the way to Hurricane. And now I'm worried about Springdale, because that's a beautiful drive, and I'm worried if you're going to apply this same cut down every single tree within the right-of-way ruling that appears to be on 15 and 9, that if it goes all the way up 9 clear to Springdale, you're going to ruin quite a beautiful scene.
I'm going to defer. Tracy, do you want to speak to the tree issue?
For that. The ones on I-15 were cutting down because they were dying and falling on people's property.
People are dying too. We don't.
Right.
Go ahead.
And then the ones on SR9, we had quite a few limbs falling down on the roadway. So we removed them while we had the contractor there also.
Then you're making my point that if that's the rule, then every tree around Trees Ranch and into Springdale and
these,
along...
These ones were dying and had a lot of age.
Those are cottonwoods too, yeah. And they have age and they have broken limbs. I'm making my point, no matter
you're
what
talking you... talking to the Lorax.
No matter what you say, no matter what you say, I'm just asking, is that the goal? That, oh, that one has one dead branch in it, cut it down.
I guess I would say if it's going to become a hazard to users of the system, we would probably have to do something about that.
We've been looking at a lot of them through Hurricane. It's just becoming an issue.
I hate the way you talk.
And future concern will be in Hurricane.
Is the plan then to replace them with trees that are more hardy?
We don't have that plan. It's not. That's something we can look at.
Well, we can have that discussion, but I mean, from UDOT's standpoint, it's a hazard to the roadway. If it becomes a hazard, then we're going to have to deal with it one way or another. It'd all be in our face if a branch failed and hurt somebody on the road. So we're going to try and deal with it if it becomes a hazard. If it's not a hazard and it's not within what we call a clear zone where a car runs off the road, it's going to hit it and cause other problems. I don't see why
we're damaging other people's property.
Yeah, or if it's damaging other people's property. We get complaints from people who say, this tree's in your right of way. We've got stuff, limbs falling,
sure,
damage against that. So it's not a UDOT policy to just go clear trees, I guess.
The trimming appears to be mostly 6 inches off the ground. I'm just saying if you could prune them, make them look better, because there are trees all along from Virgin to Springdale that you could say that's a roadway hazard, somebody could run off the road and hit that. Okay, well what about the rock that's right behind that? They're gonna hit that now, you know what I mean? So I'm just a little worried that because for sake of a lawsuit that we suddenly, because we can do that in the town, Mayor, right?
You could do that down Santa Clara, and take all their trees.
You'd only get about this much into the first one. I've seen it.
There are certain hazards I think we should accept or deal with other than just eliminating the hazard altogether. Otherwise, you have to live outside and not in your own house. There's hazards everywhere. So I get it, but if we do that up and down the entire state, just to make sure that the roadway is always clear, we're going to have the ugliest roadways in the nation.
This sounds like a discussion between UDOT and interested individuals. It's nothing we're going to be able to act on today, folks.
They asked if there were any other concerns or questions. So
yeah, they got it. I hope that's written in bold ink, right? To be discussed.
Mayor Hart, would it be an advantage to have a copy of that policy that we might understand better what those...
That would be interesting.
Are, so sure. We could maybe be better educated.
And I don't know if there's a specific policy, but we just look for things that present a hazard to the traveling public and address them as
yep.
we need to.
And in your defense, we agree.
Do you take into consideration like wildland fire mitigation and that? You talk about the dead branches and the older trees.
Let's do this. Come back with a report on really how they reach those decisions. Because it would be interesting to know. And we do have a lot of beautiful roadways that we wouldn't want to destroy.
Well, the trees that are in the median that just passed Hurricane, the turn there past the Maverick, those trees, that's a tree that drops branches at the variety. And yet, I don't think anybody in her commune wants to cut them all down.
So the commissioner wants to meet UDOT's arborist, whoever that is, and have a chat.
Just to drive the branch on.
Chair, do you mind if I ask, in between these two, you know, local areas of UDOT, do you have any updates on the study going on with the interchange for leads?
Not today, but we're meeting on Thursday this week.
It's going to be Thursday.
Good question.
For those that don't understand or haven't been informed, the MPO has hired Horrocks to do a study on the North Leeds interchange to determine where the best location and a recommended configuration could be built as the developers look at their developments in that area. Horrocks has indicated that they are nearly complete with their study, and they wanted to do a follow-up with the MPO on Thursday this week. Once we're finished with that, we'll put the polishing touches on that study and present it to the folks in Leeds, and also bring it back to this committee in June.
Okay, thank you for representing. We're used to having three of you sitting there. We have one replacement today, huh? We have fallen far.
For this month, I'll send Kirk back next month. So.
Yeah. I'm done. After that.
Yeah, we're coming back.
Thank you very much for being here. Federal updates beyond what we had in the report?
No, sir. Just thank you for the tour that we had of the proposed Western Corridor, knowing that the Northern Corridor is still a primary focus for Senator Lee, and seeing that the Department of Transportation's discretionary funds for fiscal year 26 is proposed to increase about 5.6% or so, 5.8%, which is a positive. So we hope that we can work through Congress to take more powers, that's kind of what Senator Lee is working towards, in addition to this reconciliation situation, which we shall see how that goes.
Yep. Thank you. Others? All right. There's no other business. DTAC June 4th, DTAC June 17th. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Yes, second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So
we need people to stay though. We need 9 people.
Bell.